Proudly local music from Annalie on The Sound of Your Life. Now, silicon metal and ferroalloys producer Ferroglobe South Africa has warned that it may be forced to stop operations at all its facilities owing to a prolonged and unprecedented escalation in electricity prices. Now, Ferroglobe says without confirmation of reduced tariffs for its operations, it will have no alternative but to start a retrenchment process for all remaining staff, with dismissals anticipated to take effect from June of this year. CEO Marco Levi says energy costs have reached levels that render continued operations financially unviable. This is despite decades of investment, industrial commitment, and continuous efforts having been made to sustain production. Now, Ferroglobe started operating in South Africa back in 1997 with the acquisition of the Polokwane silicon metal smelter, followed by the acquisition of a Malahleni ferro silicon smelter in 2008. The company has also invested in five quartz mining operations and grew to become the largest charcoal producer in Southern Africa. It remained the only African silicon metal producer for decades up to the company's potential closure. We're joined this evening by Lucinda Hinksman, Director and Head of Employment and Labor at CMS South Africa, to get into why the news of Ferroglobe's potential retrenchments is in fact a massive labor market stress test, and very much is aligned with some of the conversations that we've had with other companies that are more sort of focused on our area, like TransAlloys.
We've covered a few smelters that have indicated that they're going to be closing down, or even, you know, a lot of businesses within the manufacturing space that are reporting retrenchments. What is the process of launching such a retrenchment process?
They could go a facilitated route or non-facilitated. So the employees would first have to be given a notice, and then the employees could choose to either have it facilitated by the CCMA, which is always a preferred route, in my opinion, or they could do it themselves. And then it would kick off into a consultation period where they would need to then engage with the trade unions and any other consulting parties to try and reach agreements on the various topics that they need to try and minimize retrenchment, see where they can save jobs, and then where they can't, then consult on things such as the severance pay and the timing of the retrenchment.
One wonders what a closure like Ferroglobe's could have on the local economy of Polokwane, but also on the country's industrial sector as a whole.
Yes, absolutely. And this is, you know, part of the travesty of it all, is that there is the direct implication to those employees themselves, but then the indirect consequence, which is to their families and to the surrounding community. You know, these communities rely on companies such as Ferroglobe that are employing the whole community. And then one person was employed. I remember a stat a while ago now used to be that for one person employed, it feeds 10 people. You know, that may have changed now. And I think even in relation to Ferroglobe, I think the stat out there was that, you know, for the 200 and odd jobs that could possibly be impacted, there is an indirect consequence across to 60,000 individuals, if I'm not mistaken. So it's devastating.
Can you give us a sense of the responsibilities that are placed on the owners and the responsibilities that are placed on labor unions and labor reps and the like in such an instance, which is quite contentious, difficult? You've already given us the economic implications thereof. And so everyone's trying to keep the jobs, but it may not be economically or financially viable. So what are the sort of varying roles within the retrenchment process or even the consultation process that each party must play?
Sure. So from an employer's perspective, what they really need to ensure that they do is that they have exhausted all alternatives before they embark on this process. They need to really ensure that they have cut costs wherever they can. They really have looked at every corner of their business and really approached every entity that they can, looked at their SLAs that they have in place, and that there's nothing more that they can do. Obviously, we know that, yeah, the primary source is the electricity cost, and approaching ESCOM, I'm assuming, has not brought any results. And this is why they will find themselves in this process, ultimately, if nothing changes there. And for so long as they've done that, they'll have to go into this process and then engage meaningfully with the stakeholders, being the unions and the non-represented employees. From the union side, as well as the unrepresented employees who will have to nominate reps or however they choose to do it, they will have a duty to participate meaningfully as well. And that means to also not unnecessarily drag it out. They must also participate and come to the table with offers and proposals. And I think that's often, sometimes that can be missed, in that you must put proposals on the table. Come and give concrete help to the employer. And the employer then has an obligation in return to go and actually explore those options and see if they're viable before you then call it a day to say that none of these things will work and start then talking about how these retrenchments will unfold.
That's Lucinda Hinksman. She's the Director and Head of Employment and Labour at CMS South Africa. There is still more from her coming right after these.
Ever hear terms like transfer pricing, tax compliance or risk mitigation and think, that sounds important, but how does it affect me? At Forvis Mazars,